Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
But let's get into the Word together and we'll talk about mission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is Jesus talking to his disciples that he's spent 3 years with, that he's done life with, that have seen him do miracles, seen him love people, seen him go away to be with his Father. They've seen Jesus do what he had come to do. Even at this point, Jesus has actually gone to the cross. He has died for everyone's sins. He has resurrected. He has spent time with them after his resurrection, and now he's about to go to be with the Father. And he tells them this one last thing. He says, "All authority in heaven, all the authority of the Father has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," to him. And then he says, "Now you," to his disciples, "go therefore and make disciples." Go and make. Go and work. Go and spend time with people. Go and preach the gospel. Do life with people in order for them to become followers of Jesus. In order for them to become more like him, like me, as in him. He's saying, "I want them to be students. I want them to be learners. I want them to be followers." He says, "Go therefore and do this." And this has been happening now for more than 2,000 years. Making disciples. We're here because someone went. You're here. You know Jesus because someone listened to that great commission and actually decided, "I'm going to go and make disciples. I want to see people get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to take part in helping others learn what Jesus commanded, what he taught." He says, "Go teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And I love that he says to them, "And behold, I am with you always." He says, "You're not going to have to do this by yourself. I will be with you." You know, we've spoken in the last few weeks about when we pray, what happens in our own lives, what happens in mission overseas, in the missionaries, what happens when we pray. And it all comes from the heart of the Father. He has a heart for the nations. Isaiah 56 verse 7 says, "My house shall be a house of" what? "Of prayer for all nations, for all people." This challenges us to not be a people that just pray for ourselves, but we pray for the nations. We pray for people of all different backgrounds. Jesus is calling and has called all of us to be a people that live on mission. Mission is not just about the missionaries, but it's actually calling all of us to live on mission. I dare you to memorize that Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The Great Commission. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." See, if we just focused on that for the rest of our lives, meditated on that for the rest of our lives, and asked ourselves, "Am I making disciples? Am I seeing people around me get baptized? Am I playing a part in seeing others get baptized?" you would actually stay in tune with what the Lord is wanting you to do. I would stay in tune with what He's wanting me to do, because that is His heart for us to make disciples. There's something that I wanted to do before this and I actually forgot. And I'm just going to pause there because it's important and it's going to wake some of us up. There's a couple in this room right now that are on a journey of growing as disciples, and we're blessed to have them in the house. But recently, they just got engaged. Can you stand up for us? We've got Eli. And we've got April. Eli sent me some photos. He didn't know I was going to put them up. But these guys just got engaged. Let's give him a hand. He popped the question. Be praying for them. You guys can take your seats. We prayed for them in encounter service this morning. But this is part of them becoming more like Jesus. Getting married. It is on God's heart. Eli just got baptized a few months back. April got baptized last year. And we're just so excited to have people in the house that are continuing to grow in that. I want to just give a shout out to a few more people again. Candace, could you stand up? Prem, could you stand up? Mel, could you stand up? Where are you, Mel? She's probably out there working somewhere. But I just want to let you know, Mel, for the last few years, she's actually been studying. She's on staff at the moment. She volunteers too on team. But Mel actually graduated from Alpha Crucis University with a diploma in ministry. She's like, yeah, I did that. And then we have Candace and Prem, who are part of the team here, but they've actually been going through a process with the Australian Christian churches of becoming ordained ministers, and they're on that journey. So they've both just received their provisional ministry certificate of being an ordained minister. So they're on that journey. They've been doing some study. They've been doing some interviews. So just want to honor them this morning. I was supposed to do that before I wanted to, but I got too excited about discipleship. And so here we are. I would forget if I didn't do it in that moment. But when we talk about going, that's what we're talking about. We talk about when we pray, when we give. This week we're talking about when we go. We see, you know, in this mission magazine, we hear all the stories that actually when we pray, when we give, when we go, the gospel is reaching some of the most unreached parts of the world. We talked about last week that when we give, when you receive something from someone you're not expecting, you're actually able to do something you weren't able to do before. When we give like the little boy with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, we give in faith that God is able to multiply that. Today we want to talk about more about what happens when you go. When you listen to that Great Commission, when you meditate on it, when you respond, what actually happens when someone goes? Why should we even go? We're always on the go. But Jesus says go. So why should we go? We get to go and we should go because Jesus taught us to go. It was His last command to His disciples. We're to make His last command our first priority. The Great Commission. This is why we should go, because He said, go. Go and make disciples. And this going is not just I did this back in the days for Jesus, or I'm going to go. He's actually saying it's a going, it's a present going. This is what we're to be focused on all the time. We are to be going. We are on the go. People have been going for the last 2,000 years. And the church has been growing. Yes, the church for all those years has been persecuted and there's been challenges, but the church continues to be an unstoppable force because people are responding to, hey, I want to make disciples. But just because people have been going for so long doesn't mean that your going and my going doesn't count. Your going counts. Your going is crucial. So where are you going? What are you doing in response to the Great Commission. I ask myself this question. Sometimes I forget about it, even as a pastor. I don't focus on the Great Commission. I don't ask myself, who am I discipling? Who am I sharing the gospel with? I can get comfortable. But this is something we're supposed to be asking ourselves about consistently. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "Behold, I am with you always." He was saying to his disciples, "You've got what you need. You've got me," he was saying. "You've got what you need. I will be with you. So go." We actually have Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit. We have his love. God is love. We have his truth, the word. It can be in us. It is there. We can meditate on it. We can go to it. We have the word. We carry the truth. We have his love. We have his power by the Holy Spirit. When we step into everyday life with these things, his love, his power, his truth, we just step into everyday life as normal people. God does something in those around us. We get to go. What does going actually look like? What does going actually look like? Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus has told them to go. But then he says, but wait. He tells his disciples, wait, because there's a promise. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is yet to come. He tells them, you are to wait. He says, wait. But when the Holy Spirit, Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's telling them to wait for this moment, that day of Pentecost. He says, when that happens, you will receive power to be my witnesses in Judea. No, he starts with Jerusalem. He says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to the uttermost parts of the world. See, that day came and the church of Jesus Christ was born. The Holy Spirit is available to us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit around us. They waited to be clothed with power from on high. But he told them, when the power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So what does going look like? It looks like going local. We go local. We start in our own backyard. Because he said, you will receive power to be my witnesses, to tell of me, for my power to be shown in you, through you, where you are in Jerusalem. So this is our Jerusalem. Where you live is your Jerusalem. So going looks like going local. It starts with your wife. It starts with your husband. Where they're at with Jesus. Do they know Jesus? Are they growing in Jesus? Are you being a priest, a minister to your partner? It starts with your children. It starts with our children. Are we discipling them? Do they know Jesus? Are we sowing gospel seeds into our children every day in conversation and in what we do? It starts at home. That is local. It starts with your parents. It starts with your family. This is your Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Your friends that don't know Jesus. My friends that don't know Jesus. This is to be our mission. We are to live on mission. To have that radar up on all the time for those around us that don't know him. There's so many people that don't know him. You walk into an ice cream shop and you talk to the attendant. And you say, we're doing something with churches. Like, what? You say, have you heard about Jesus? And the guy says, nah, I haven't heard about Jesus. It's surprising how many people haven't heard about Jesus. You go to a wedding and people hear you pray at a wedding. And they say, that was an awesome speech you did. And I'm like, no, it wasn't a speech. I was praying. They're like, what do you mean? And I tell them about Jesus. They're like, oh yeah, Jesus. He's a good guy. I've heard about him. He's a good guy. Then we get to tell them about who Jesus is, what he did, and what he's doing now. So when it says go, it's not just about going to some specific place. He's like, you're going somewhere all the time. As you go on the train, on your desk, on a Zoom call, on your work shift. There is room, there is a hunger, there's an appetite for the gospel, because we are to live on mission. What is your mission field? We're all missionaries here. How you doing, missionaries? Any missionaries in the house today? Yeah, oh yeah. Man, we've got a few more. They're all going to be asking for money at the end. We're not talking about that kind of mission. We're going to talk about that later. But it's got to start. It's got to start with us. What is your mission field? I love to run. So I'm part of a running club. That's my mission field. I actually joined a running club because I felt that I was hanging around with too many Christians. I had no one to evangelize to. So I'm like, Lord, what can I do? And I felt led to, hey, well, what are you already doing? Why don't you make what you're doing now involve other people? Why don't you join what you're doing with what others are doing? And through that, you'll have a mission field. So through the running club, I get to know people. I get to share what I do for work. I get, every now and again, when I get an opportunity, I get to pray for people if they let me. Or I just get to listen. But that is my mission field. What's your mission field? Wherever you go, wherever God's leading you, the word says that God orders the steps of a righteous person. We're righteous because of Jesus. So wherever you're going, He's with you. He's ordering. You're in your workplace for a reason. You're in your neighborhood for a reason. Your family members, you have them for a reason, even the ones that you don't like. But that's your mission field. I remember being in the sauna a few years ago. Mission field, sauna. And I started to have a conversation with one young man in there. He started asking questions. And before you knew it, we were praying, and he was praying the sinner's prayer, salvation prayer, and he became a Christian. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is my day off work. I just came to be in the sauna and have a swim. And now someone's getting saved in the sauna. I'd never seen anything happen like that before for me outside church, outside the four walls. But the Lord was encouraging me that just as I go, He leads us to be on mission. What is your mission field? I'm just astounded at the mission fields. Even with our kids, when sport's such a thing. Is there any parents here with kids that love sport? Like when your kids are in primary school, four days in the week at the moment, we're in sport. But that means we're with other families. So we get to talk to other families. We've been able to invite families to our house for barbecues and things. And out of that, I've been able to go on a walk with one of the dads. And as I've walked with this guy, as we're talking, he's sharing all his struggles. And he's like, I've tried everything. Then I just said, hey, but have you tried prayer? He's like, no, I haven't thought about that. I'm like, well, let me tell you about prayer. So we talk about it. We get to talk about the gospel. If you ask someone, hey, do you know what the good news is? Or do you know what the gospel is? Most people have no clue. They might have an idea, but they don't really have a clue. So you get to tell them. They might say yes, they might not say yes, but a seed is planted. But I remember at the end of that conversation, I said, hey, man, I'd love to pray for you for what he was going through. And I got to pray with this guy. And at the end of it, he's like, wow. It's that easy to pray. It's just talking. I'm like, yeah, that's all it is. There's people all around us that need God. And God's placing us on mission everywhere that we go. So what is your mission field? Who are you discipling? You know, even locally, here at the Salvation Army, does so much for the community. We've talked about it over the last few weeks. But one of the things that we got to do with the Salvation Army recently was to volunteer in the Red Shield Appeal. And a few of us got to go to Southland and just stand there with smiles on our faces. And people just give. People want to give. Janie was telling us, the officer here at the Salvation Army, that they raised more than $12,000 from the Red Shield Appeal just for this center here. So there's all different ways that we can help locally with different organizations. You know, we come into this space during the week and, you know, there's rough sleepers. There's people around here, this property, that sleep in their cars because they don't have homes. Some of them have work, but they don't have homes. They're doing it tough. The Salvation Army will help them with a process with the government to get a house. But for some, that's taken years. So we've got to know some. You know, sometimes we'll give out of the generosity of the church in different ways. But most of what we do is just build relationship. Pray for them. Talk to them. There's people in this church that volunteer during the week. And through prayer, we've been able to witness up to four or more, from what I know, that have actually got a house over that time. And we're like, yep, we've been praying. And Jenny, the officer, has seen a difference because we've been praying. She's so thankful for your prayers and our prayers. So there's things to do locally in your personal life, around you, and also around organizations like the Salvation Army. The mission of God advances through ordinary believers who go into their worlds empowered by the Holy Spirit. The mission of God, it advances through ordinary believers like you and I going into our worlds empowered by the Holy Spirit. So where are you going? What are you doing? We're to make disciples, baptizing, teaching, doing life with people. You know, making disciples is actually seeing someone come to Christ. But then you have discipleship, which is the journey of someone growing in Christ. There's room for all of us to make disciples. There's room for all of us to be walking in discipleship with others. But it happens in conversations. It happens at tables. Who's coming to your house for a meal? Who are you taking out for coffee? We receive so much from the Word of God ourselves when we get into the Word. Revelation, we learn. But who are you sharing? Who am I sharing that with? Just the people in your day-to-day. When you learn something, share it. That's part of discipleship. But it's about doing life with people, letting people come into your life. Let them see your dirty house. Let them see your house when it's not looking like it looks when people come over. Let them see what it looks like any other day. That is discipleship. Let them see when your kids are being a nuisance and when they're being a blessing and when you're frustrated. That is discipleship. Because think of Jesus and his disciples. They would have seen everything, and he would have seen everything in them. So it's about going local. What does going look like? It also looks like going global. Going global, going to the nations. Like I said before, Acts 8, 1 verse 8 says, you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, to the ends of the earth. It's literally going to the nations. Mark 16, 15 says these words. Jesus says these words to them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Proclaim the gospel. This is what Jesus asked of his disciples, and this is what he's asking of us today. And we don't have to put pressure on ourselves. You just ask God, Lord, I want your heart. He will give you that burden for the lost. He will give you that burden to share his gospel, that it won't feel like an obligation and it won't feel like it's all on you. It's actually on him. He just wants people that will go. You know, there's people like Joan that have gone to the nations. There's people like Ben that have gone to the nations. There's all the people in this magazine. And there's people that you know that have gone to the nations. And when you think about those people, an example being Ben Hay. I told you his story that back in, you know, Early 2000s, he started coming to the church, got saved through one of my friends. But he didn't just end up in the nations. Yes, he quit his job to go to the nations, but it didn't start there. It started as he was a new Christian. He started serving locally in a ministry that Richmond AOG at the time had in the Richmond housing estate, in the flats. So our church would go into the housing commission and would run programs. We would actually pick up kids from the housing commission and bring them to church for kids' church. And Benton used to drive one of those buses, used to be one of the Sunday school teachers. It started there, going into the nations in Richmond. Because in the housing commission flats, there's usually people from all different nations. And something happened there. Then he went on a mission trip to Kenya. Something happened there. And then before you know it, now he lives in Kenya, running Children's Fortress for Africa, saving kids off the street where there's 60,000 children on the streets. And he's working with the government in shelters to see kids rehabilitated. Joan has a similar story. We have Pastor Alvin who runs, he pastors Numa Singapore. He used to be part of Numa East. But then he went on a mission trip to Thailand. And through that, something sparked. And then he came back. He quit his corporate job. And then he moved to Thailand and was part of Numa Bangkok. Before we knew it, it feels like that, but it didn't happen like that. But he became the location pastor for Bangkok. And now he's the location pastor for Singapore. And he's given his life to being someone who pastors in Asia. And that all started just with the decision that I want to go to the nations. What does going look like? It looks like, yes, going on a mission trip. We have a slide that will show you some of the upcoming mission trips. I encourage you to just scan a QR code to see more details about those mission trips. But there's a mission trip coming up in September in Thailand. There's one coming up in Cambodia in October. There's one in Kenya with Pastor JJ in October. And there's one that's, you know, in progress, still being organized in Japan. But there's always teams going to the nations. Maybe that's something that's on your heart, to go and get a taste. You know, when people go on mission trips, they go to minister in different places, whether it's rural or places that are in need. But they'll go and train people, go and equip leaders, run all different programs, build things. The team went to India years ago and built, you know, different structures at the Rejoice School so that kids could be learning under, you know, warmth, under shelter. So there's different trips that we can go on. But when you go on a mission trip, it actually does more for you than it does for the people that are there. As much as they're blessed, as much as God will heal people, will minister to them, as we saw in the video earlier, the ones that actually go on the trip always come back saying, I felt more blessed. It actually expands your perspective, expands your world. There's so many different ways that we can go global. And like we said, today we're taking up an offering for global missions. Last year we took up an offering. We take one up every year. Last year, your giving and all of Numa's giving came up to $450,000 that is going out and has been going out to the mission partners. You see it in the magazine, $451,974 raised. And there's still $102,000 to go for what's needed for the rest of the year that is yet to be spent, if my accounting serves me right as I read that. But you've got that in there to see for yourself. But this year, today, every location's going to get an opportunity to fill out those cards so that we can commit to continue to plant into what the missionaries are doing. And we also have new mission partners. So these are some of the ways that we go global. Going global financially means that your money goes, our money goes where our feet cannot go. So there's going local and there's going global. But what actually happens when we go? When we go local, when we go global, what happened when someone went for you? You encounter the love of Jesus. You encounter the gospel. You encounter his presence. You are transformed. People actually get transformed when we go. When we decide we're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is challenging us to do right now. We're going to listen to the call. People come to know God. Romans 10, 14 to 15 says these words. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, when someone goes, people hear the truth of Jesus Christ. And we know that the truth sets people free. When we go, people are able to hear the preaching of the gospel. People are actually sent. When we go in our giving, people are sent. When we go in our praying, people are sent. I want to share a few stories through video now of some people that have gone because we have given. People in our house that have been part of our house, they have gone. And these guys have gone to the nations. One of them is Pastor Don and Hannah Osborne. You see, they left Numa South. They went. And because they went, we were able to go. Candace and I were able to come to Numa South because they went. But then, because we have given, they're able to continue doing what the Lord has called them to do. So we're just going to have a quick look at this video. Don just sent this to me the other day. I just asked him for it. So this is not a production. This is straight from my phone from Donald Osborne to you guys.
Hello, Numa South family. I hope that you are doing well. On behalf of the Osbornes, I have the privilege of saying hello and thank you. You guys, we are so grateful for you. Y'all are so special to us. And I want to say thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your continued financial support. You've been partnering in, yes, the Osbornes being more established in San Francisco, but even more, the kingdom work that is happening here in our city. And there are some really encouraging things that I'd love to share with y'all. A few of the things that we're seeing happen here locally and through Greenhouse has been through fitness and discipleship. It is really amazing as we've been getting people more active physically that it's connected to their activity spiritually. And on Monday nights, I run a guy's workout, and then straight after, we host a Bible study. And over the last 6 weeks, every single week, we've seen at least one new guy join the Bible study, and some of those are coming directly through the guy's workout that we're doing. One really cool story is a guy that's been coming along just really for almost 2 months now. He has just had a fresh encounter with Jesus, given his life to him, and this last month we were able to baptize him, which is amazing. And we're continuing the discipleship walk with him. But that's just one testimony of what we are seeing, and we really want to thank you for your partnership because you are part of that being a reality. As a family, one of the great delights for Hannah and I is seeing our kids beginning to thrive more and more and more in their faith and in their love for Jesus Christ. It really is so impacting and emotional to me because there have been moments, even over the last 6 months, for Zephaniah, Oliver, and Favor, where we've just seen them really encounter Jesus. And one of those was during the week of Easter, just gone, Favor at preschool responded to the gospel. They shared the gospel at her preschool. She responded in that moment. And for us, it was such a delight to see her respond and then even share with us that she had invited Jesus into her life as a 3-year-old. And so I could keep going story after story, but from Hannah and I, Zephaniah, Oliver, and Favor, we love you guys and we are so grateful for your partnership.
Come on. Yeah, so for those that don't know, Don and Hannah planted this church in the cinemas in Southland back in 2017. And in 2022, they got sent out to San Francisco to plant Yuma San Fran, which went on for about 4 years. And then they've now been released to be independent in what God's calling them to. And so now they've become Greenhouse, and you've just heard of some of what is happening there. If you need more information, reach out to them, talk to us. But it's just amazing to see what God is doing. Because when they got released as a church, just not as Yuma, but as Yuma South, we all gave, you know, towards them. And we raised, you know, a good $11,000 or something that you guys gave to them to be able to do what they're doing. So we just thought it'd be great for you to just hear some of what's happening because you gave and because they have gone. Like those stories of baptisms and what is going on. Let's continue to pray for those guys. The other people we just want to quickly hear from is Josh and Kelly Long. They were with us here not even a long time ago. We released them. We prayed for them together as a family in February. They're wanting to plant a church in San Diego, a heart for the city. So we're just going to hear from them real quick, and then I'll come and finish up.
Hey, Yuma South. It's Pastor Josh from Pastor Kelly. Wanted to say hello to you from Temecula, California. We actually have the privilege right now of just hanging out with some friends and family from the church that we've been attending called Passion Life, and just been going there and building kingdom community while we're on the journey of planting Heart for the City in the San Marcos area. As you see, you know, it's the most horrid atmosphere that we could live in. No, it's been beautiful. God has truly been favorable to us. And that is because of the fact that you guys listened to the Holy Spirit by giving what you gave to allow us to actually move here and to get things in place, get things in order so that we can launch from a healthy place spiritually as well as financially. So we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Literally, your giving has allowed us to maintain and sustain all the way up until where we are today. So few updates. I am now working at a company, and so just doing that, but still obviously working on what God wants us to do when it comes to the church stuff. And then Kelly, you can give an update on what you're doing?
Yeah, I've been homeschooling the kids, catching them up with the American school system. So that's been good. It's been very rewarding, and we're super glad that we're doing it. The kids are going well. And yeah, we've just had a great time getting to know people here. It was pretty lonely in the first few months. We miss you guys so much. But we know that this is where God wants us to be. And we're starting to see the fruit of that little by little.
So what we're asking you guys to do is just to continue to pray for us. Obviously, things have not been completed yet. So we're still on a journey of sorting things out when it comes to financials and the back end business side of things. So please continue to pray as we continue to move forward. And as always, we love you guys. We miss you. And don't be surprised if you see us walking the doors pretty soon just for a visit. Love you.
Bye.
Let's welcome them in as they walk in right now. Imagine that. That'd be amazing. They're all like in their singlets. I was like, is it really hot there or something? Josh said it's 95 degrees. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but yeah, it sounds really hot. If the worship team could please come and join. What happens when we go? It's just amazing hearing from those guys and just hearing what God is doing. It's a work in progress, but we can see what God does when we go, when we give, when we pray. But when we talk about going local for you today, church, where's God sending you today? Where has God got you in your day to day? Who are the people He's sending you to? What are the communities He's sending you into? In your workplace, at your gym, in your classes, in whatever you do with your time, what is He leading you into? Will you say, like the prophet Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me. Here I am." Just imagine what could happen if all of us every day when we leave our houses, we're saying, "Lord, here I am, send me. What do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to bless, to speak to pray for, to be there for, to be present with? What do you require of me right now? That's a question that we're to always be asking the Lord. Lord, right now, even when you're in traffic, Lord, what do you require of me right now? When you're in hospital waiting for test results, or you're waiting in emergency, or you're at someone's bedside, whatever it is, wherever you are, you can always ask the Lord, what are you saying right now? What do you need from me right now? What are you inviting me to right now? You know, as we talk about praying, giving, and going, what does the Lord require of you right now? As part of Pneuma South, as part of Pneuma Church, is it to pray? Everyone can pray. Everyone's on mission. Is it to give? You know, the Lord will not ask us to give something we don't have. He's the one who gives us what we have. From what the Lord has given you in this season and is giving you right now, what would He invite you to give? To Pneuma Missions, to sow into the ministry of these people that have given their lives, stepped out of the boat to go to the nations. How is He asking you to go?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.